Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's great to be back in the studios. It's like putting on a comfortable jumper again and going, yeah, this is right. This feels like home.
Or a nice slipper or something like that. To SER, your morning slipper. Anyway, let's talk about the exhibition. So what kind of era, what kind of time frame are we talking about these objects representing?
Oh, look, the museum itself started collecting health and medicine objects in 1880, back when we first were set up and began.
Wow.
But the objects themselves come from many hundreds of years before that. It's a real treasure trove of wandering through this gorgeous hall, packed full with objects. And we've split them into different themes. So
themes.
You can wander and have a look around, immerse yourself in themes like Cut It Out, where we've got all these surgical tools.
Mm.
Yep, they're a little bit terrifying and a little bit wonderful.
Mm.
You can see the design change over time of different instruments. And also, they're all in stainless steel, which is how doctors used to have all their medical tools. And now we have a lot more things that we can discard after one use.
Yeah, so there's 2,000, I think, of these objects getting around. You were kind of in charge of curating them, getting them all together. Like, how long did this sort of process take?
Oh, it took a little while. It's me and another curator, Damien. So we got to basically go and wander through our health and medicine collection at the museum, which is so fantastic. And we were wandering through the corridors that have all these fantastic objects. We wrote down a list of things that we definitely wanted in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we debated about what sort of themes, because, you know, you've got a limited space.
That's
so
right.
You can't have everything.
No.
And so once we'd nutted out what themes and then what really big objects that we could have in the gallery as well, then it was a matter of figuring out how we were placing them. It took a couple of months, but we're always working on about 20 projects at the one time,
mm-hmm.
so bits and pieces here and there. But it's such a fun thing to do. And the reason is, like all large public institutions, the museum, we only ever get to show about 3% of our collection.
It's all at the back.
Yeah. And we've got three sites, you know. We've got the powerhouse at Ultimo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Sydney Observatory. And we've got a museum's discovery centre in Castle Hill. And still, we're only ever showing
3%.
So the museum, we decided, like, how do we get more of our objects out there so that people can see them and enjoy them?
Mm.
And Recollect, this series. So this is the sixth one in the series. And it's where curators, we get to figure out a particular theme. And then it's visible collection storage. So we get to just pull all of these beautiful objects out in theme groupings and put them out in the museum floor with not that much information about them. So we write a label for each of one of those big themes, and so people can sort of get the gist,
mm-hmm.
and then each of the objects has a little object tag, and if you love that object, you can go and check on our online collection and learn a lot more about that particular one.
Information like where to cut something off a body or something like that, I assume, for this particular exhibit. So let's talk about, you talked about this hundreds of years in terms of the development of these objects in this particular exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let's, how backwards medically thinking were some of the, is some of the stuff in this exhibition?
Oh, so historically judgmental,
I didn't
Mitch.
Mean like inferior.
How very dare you. Actually, there is one thing that's a little terrifying. I mean, you know, because doctors and people practicing medicine and human beings in general, we're always trying to do the best that we can with the information that we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by judgmental. I mean, at the time, these were cutting edge.
Yeah.
This was people doing their best. And when you think about it, practices that we use today in medicine, in 100 years, people are going to look back and go,
what were they thinking?
Oh, they were doing, weren't they quaint with the way that they treated cancer back then? Hilarious. But I mean, we have, okay, so we have a trepanning tool.
Ooh.
So imagine like a bottle opener, a ye olde bottle opener,
mm-hmm.
except instead of a screw, it had this cylinder with a jagged edge at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was perform probably the first operation on a human that they survived from, because we have evidence from skeletons. So what this thing was, a hand-operated bone drill.
Ooh.
So they would cut out. So you'd you would twist your hand onto someone's head to carve out a bit of the skull, and that was to relieve pressure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would have done it to relieve madness. So they were doing their best at the time. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that we know people survived is because you can find skulls where that hole in their skull has then healed over.
Oh.
So they've still lived. They're still producing extra cells and the bone's still regenerating. So that's a bit weird.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah. What else have we got? There's so many gorgeous things. We've also got a Both respirator.
A Both respirator.
Yeah. So
okay.
This is the Australian invention that took the iron lung. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that, yeah.
Okay. So the iron lung was used, again, it was probably one of the first machines that performed a human function to actually keep a human alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's a big box and your head pops out of it and you're lying down and it has a bellows at the end and it creates a small vacuum in that box. And what that bellows then does is inflates your lungs in and out, because when you get polio, one of the things that can happen is that you have paralysis of your muscles, and that paralysis, if that's in your chest muscles, that means you can't breathe anymore. You can't inflate your lungs. So this Both respirator was the Australian way of rethinking the iron lung, because an iron lung is totally what it sounds like. It is heavy. It is complicated. When they invented it in America, I mean, it saved lives. It was incredible, but you had to put it on the bottom floor of a hospital because it was so heavy.
Wow.
You couldn't move it. That was it. That was where the person was going. And these, we had a massive polio outbreak in Adelaide in the 1930s. And these two Australian brothers who were great inventors and instrument makers, they were like, I think we can do this better. And so they took the design, but then made it out of a really lightweight wood, put it on wheels.
Whoa.
And then it was like it blew the world's mind in terms of, this is a portable respirator. You can take little kids who have got polio and are scared and don't particularly want to be in hospital, they can go home and have their treatment at home, because sometimes this treatment would last for months, years. In fact, there was a woman in Australia who lived in her Both respirator for 25 years.
Wow.
And had a child in it.
Wow.
Let's not dwell on that.
So there's heaps of great stuff to check out. You guys are open all Easter long weekend,
absolutely,
right?
The museum's open every day except Christmas.
So check it out. It's called Recollect Health and Medicine. The curator, Tilly Berlin, joins us in the studio. Thanks so much. That was great.